hello, everyone. We are live. It is April 30th, 2026. Welcome to everybody coming in the United States or around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I'm just texting Chris to bring me a water. Let's see if he gets it. I'm sure he will. I realize I didn't have water down here. So hello to all of you coming in. I'm going to say hi to those of you that are jumping on in the chat right now. Washington, D.C., right off the bat. Hello to you. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Oh, let's see. Palmetto, Florida as well. God bless you. Thank you. Hawaii, hello. God bless you. I see Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as well. And Central Valley, California. Well, I understand how you feel. God bless you, because I'm the other bookend on the other side of the United States of America that's dealing with a very similar situation right now. So we get it. Let's see who else. Central Point, Oregon. Let's see. Windermere, Florida. God bless you. Hello, Surprise, Arizona. God bless you. Texas. Hello to all our Texas viewers. God bless you. Hello to you in New York City. God bless you. And hello to all our viewers in the boroughs. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Callaway, Maryland. South Louisiana. Mansfield, Missouri. Aurora, Colorado as well. God bless you. Winter Haven, Florida. Newport News, Virginia. God bless you. Oh, hello to you as well. There's so many people saying hello in the chat. Las Vegas. Hello and God bless you. Washington State. Columbia, South Carolina. God bless all of you. Quebec, Canada. Hello to all our Canadian viewers. Welcome and God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us. Gypsum, Colorado. Columbus, Ohio. Illinois. God bless all of you. Hello to you in England and Sydney, Australia. Hello to our international audience. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. God bless you both. Very happy to have you on. Let's see. I see North Dakota as well. Dallas, Texas. Another Australia. God bless all of you. Long Island, New York. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on. Baltimore and Mexico City. Hello and God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight as well. Neelyville. Is that Neelyville, Missouri? I think it might be, but hello and God bless you. Mansfield, Louisiana. Hartford City, Indiana. Minneapolis, Minnesota. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Grovetown, Georgia as well. Very happy to have you on. God bless you. Eureka, Montana. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Lone Tree, Colorado. Is there just one tree in Lone Tree? I mean, is this why it's named that? It's a very interesting name that your city has. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Hagerstown, Maryland as well. Chicago, God bless you. Hello to you in Stuttgart, Germany. God bless you in Germany who are watching tonight. I know our president and your leader right now are having a tiff, but you know what? We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Very happy to have you on. We love our European audience that comes in. I see more England and UK coming in. God bless you as well. Manchester, I see coming in. God bless you. And Seymour, Tennessee. And I see lots of Floridas coming in. And Bermuda. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. And hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So I'm just adjusting myself here before we get off and running tonight. I am going to open up in prayer, as I always do. We need to give this over to the Lord. But guys, there are some very biblical things that are unfolding this very hour that are on a convergence and a collision course in this nation with Iran, with the rededication, with the book of Exodus, with the book of Ezra, with the book of Esther. And we are going to prophetically align all of it and break it down for you and show you what incredible biblical times we are living in right now. So there's lots to go over, as well as some prophecy even. And at the beginning, just at the beginning, after prayer, we're going to do a little breakdown for you of something that's happening this weekend. So let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord and we will get started tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Father, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name, Father God. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, coming before your court with thanksgiving and praise, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven, Father. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Father, help us to seek your kingdom first. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Lead and guide us, Father God, in the ways that we should go. And Father, we just come before you boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, Father God, acknowledging, Lord, that we are sinners. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. We praise you that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And we praise you, Father God, that Christ at the cross made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He blotted out ordinances. He disarmed principalities and powers, because the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel. And we praise you. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He miraculously rose again. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he is victoriously ruling and reigning forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne, Lord. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory, your power, your presence, Father, mightily move in this place, Father God. Let people tangibly feel your presence. Let your healing power, Father God, go forth. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Father, let the weight, the conviction of who you are, your holiness, Father God, mightily go forth tonight. Let your truth, Father God, mightily go forth, Father God. Lord, let people just tangibly feel your presence, Lord. Father, we just praise you. And we thank you, Father God, Lord, that you are on the highest throne. You are far above every power, principality, and might, Father God. And Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. We ask, Father, you go before us tonight. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps. Order my words, Father, as we mightily go forth in you. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ, Father God, as our defense, our protection, Father God. And because that ratifies the covenant, Father. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me and our team, Father, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, divisions to surround the skies, the land above and below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat, spell, incantation, enchantment, smote, dark art, dark magic, curse, and any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against us. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ, and we command by the holy fire of God that is all dismantled and destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lies disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Father God, to be blocked from returning or having anything sent to this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 6, I ask you, put your whole and complete armor on us this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, that the shield of faith would go up in front of us, Father, in order to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every arrow, the enemy, every weapon, the enemy and his agents are attempting to fire at us, be reversed upon the senders now, in Jesus' name. And we take the sword of the Spirit, Father, which is the word of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we command be activated the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities to now work in our favor, to destroy the snares the enemy attempts to place in our way, to pierce, puncture, dismantle, destroy, destroy every plot, assignment, word, weapon, device, agent, or snare the enemy would attempt to deploy at us, to remove every physical and spiritual blockade and embargo the enemy would attempt to place in our way, and to make the way straight for us to walk in the victory, power, authority, prosperity that you have ordained for us, Father God. Your word says, it is written, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Father God. Help us to walk into that tonight, Father God. Help us to walk in it. Help us to walk in the power and authority from on high, Father, through Christ Jesus. Father, you are the potter. We most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Take all the glory for yourself, Father. Every breath we take is because of you. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us, Father God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Your word says, it is written, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we praise you for that tonight. Let the word of the Lord go forth ahead, Father. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. We praise you. We thank you. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Welcome to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. We praise the Lord for that. It's always wonderful to give it over to the Lord in prayer to begin. And let me tell you, we need it because there is a lot going on. And we're going to get into all of it and break all of it down with you, because there is something happening that is paralleling the Red Sea moment that we're about to see happen when it comes to the United States and Iran. There is a convergence between Ezra and the book of Esther and the rededication of the nation. We're going to break down for you, as well as I'm going to show you. We're going to do a small part here because the Kentucky Derby is this weekend, and there are some very interesting things in the Derby this year, considering what's unfolding in the nation right now. We're going to break that down for you as well. So here, let's put up the first news article. Oh, by the way, if you could share this broadcast, we'd very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. We're very grateful to all of you for doing that. That would be a huge help to us, and we thank you for that in advance. Yeah, I felt that too. People like, I felt that. I felt it. I just felt it hit me. You just feel the prayer. You get to know the presence of the Lord when he comes into the room, and it just hits you and comes down on you, and praise the Lord for that. Okay, so guys, there's something very interesting about this we have to start off with, and don't worry, we're getting into everything else, but there's a few things I want to cover right off the bat. This is breaking news from just a few hours ago. House approved Senate bill to fund DHS and end record-setting 76-day shutdown. The House on Thursday unanimously approved a Senate-passed bill to fund most of the Department of Homeland Security, a move that will soon end the 76-day shutdown that has left many critical agencies struggling. Oh, thank you, Chris. He has arrived with the water. Thank you very much. That has left many critical agencies struggling to maintain operations and pay employees. Oh, he brought a second, too, just in case. You never know. So thank you very, very much for that. And? Oh, and Cyrus is here. And Cyrus is here with us. Now, there's something very interesting going on with the fact they passed this today. Maybe some of you have figured it out already, but I'm going to say it anyway. Isn't it interesting? Since America's birth was 1776, and it's America's 250th anniversary this year, that the shutdown would magically last 76 days before they passed the bill. I don't think this is an accident. I feel there's something even more sinister percolating with this. I think this should be an alarm to all of us that if they let the shutdown go this long, and it ended on the 76th day this year of all years, that should tell you people something else is percolating right now, and we need to pray for insight because it is definitely moving about. So I just wanted to point that out to you because I saw that right away. I said, they can't be serious, but they are serious, and this is why we're talking about it. So just keep that in mind. Pray. Just be watchmen, because something is on the move, and this is why it had lasted 76 days before they passed anything. So just wanted to point that out to you. Now, before we get into what the Ayatollah, the new one, Mojtaba Khomeini, said that Farrow made the same mistake, and we're going to get into that. I'm going to do very quickly for you a little Kentucky Derby breakdown, because every year I prophetically talk about the Kentucky Derby and how what's happening in the nation and in the realm of the spirit tends to come into that race. There are some interesting things because it's happening this weekend, May 2nd. I just wanted to briefly point out to you. First of all, there is a horse by the name of Renegade that is running the Derby. He's actually in the number one position. His sire, his father, the horse's name is Into Mischief. Now, why is this important given what's happening in the nation? Obama, when he was president, his code name with the Secret Service was Renegade. You could look this up. His code name was Renegade. And 2016 is when he was into mischief with Russiagate. And now more and more is coming out about that. Now, you have another horse named Commandment. His father is also into mischief. So isn't it interesting that Renegade and Commandment share the same father? We'll go back to Commandment in a minute. There's another horse called Right to Party, and this is the year where two parties are battling it out in the midterms. Guess who his father is? Constitution. The famous racehorse Constitution is Right to Party's father. Now, back to Renegade for a minute. Renegade is in the number one position. Commandment is in the number six position. That makes 1-6 or 16. And it was 2016 when Russiagate occurred with Obama and friends, and President Trump was elected his first term. Now, something else about this horse Commandment I want to point out. I'm just going to show you a few new news articles of what's ramping up to be an enormous Supreme Court fight in the nation. So it's no surprise that this horse is in this race, but we're going to show you these articles. There is a battle right now that is about to work its way up the Supreme Court. Fifth Circuit Court allows Texas to require 10 commandments in classrooms. An appellate court ruled Tuesday that Texas may require that public school classrooms display the 10 commandments, a significant win for the conservative campaign to break down the legal walls between church and state and inject more religion into the public square. It's actually faith, people, but I digress for now. There's also another article I'll show you. Supreme Court showdown over 10 commandments likely after federal court decision. A deeply divided federal appeals court has ruled that public schools in Texas are allowed to display 10 commandment posters or frame copies in public school classrooms, setting up a potential landmark case in the Supreme Court's next term. And this horse Commandment is in this race. And he's in the sixth position, and Renegade is in the first position, and that was Obama's Secret Service call name, and together it makes 16, which is when not only Trump was elected, but Russiagate happened. So I'm telling you, these things don't happen by accident. These things move about in the spirit, and then they come into the natural, and you're watching. So watch this race and this horse. Because this horse Commandment may very well be up there, being that this is teaming up to go to the Supreme Court and battle it out there. So I just wanted to show that to you because this is not a mistake that these things happen the way they do. So also very interesting before we get into Iran and the U.S., April 29th, 2026, I'm just going to mention this briefly. We all know King Charles and Queen Camilla have made their United States whirlwind tour. And April 29th, they visited, of all places, the New York City 9/11 Memorial and honoring 9/11 victims. They do this the year the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, is set to begin this year on 9/11. Of all times they could have come to the U.S. and done this, of all times they represent England, keep that in mind. They represent England. Of all times, it's happening now because you know why? I believe there's about to be a 9/11 in England and a 9/11 in the royal family. I truly believe that. I prophetically believe the timing of them coming now is prophetically indicating a 911 moment that is not only going to happen in England, but is also going to happen in the royal family. So I wanted to point that out to you because that to me was fascinating. The timing of them coming to the United States, representing England, and going to the 9/11 memorial. So just keep that in mind and pray, because something's up with that. Something's percolating and beginning to move about in the spirit with that too. Okay, so now here we go. We're going to start on this prophetic journey of talking about the United States, Iran, the book of Exodus, the book of Esther, the book of Ezra, the nation's rededication, and how it all is on a collision course with each other. This you're going to find fascinating, some of what's happening, and it's going to show, once again, we are living in incredibly biblical times. What we are watching unfold, and we are racing towards the events of Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. So, with that said, we're going to put up the first article. Now, this was from 2 days ago. We're going to work up to what happened today. So, I'm setting the stage here, kind of. Trump says Iran has told him it's, quote, in a state of collapse amid peace talk stalemate. President Donald Trump said Iran has told him it's in a, quote, state of collapse and wants the U.S. to open the Strait of Hormuz as soon as possible while they try to, quote, figure out their leadership situation, which right now it is a hot mess. It is a few fries short of a happy meal. I don't know what else to call it, but that's what's happening with Iranian leadership right now. He did not elaborate as to how that message was communicated or who exactly said it. Now, it says Trump's remarks on Tuesday came amid reports he is unhappy with Iran's latest proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Now, I want to go back to January 28th, 2026. January 28th, 2026. What I said on that broadcast. Because there are two things that have intersected in the month of April that were being referenced in this January 28th, 2026 broadcast. And this is what was said. Macron, at the end of December, said it would be useful for France to reach out to Moscow for, quote, talks. After this, in January, Macron rejects the peace board invitation from President Trump. While this is happening, Russia's ally, Iran, is on the verge of collapse. I said this back January 28th. This is happening between the two blood moons marking Purim, the Book of Esther, all occurred in Iran. Russia loses a key ally when Iran collapses. That's what I said, January 28th, when Iran collapses. As well, the USS Abraham Lincoln of all ships has been moved to the Middle East, positioned for Iran. Abraham Lincoln was not only a liberator of the oppressed, but he was assassinated for totally upending the system of the deep state at that time. Now, I'll show you what this was pointing at. Back in January. Excuse me. Lincoln was assassinated in April in Washington, D.C. So the month that Lincoln was assassinated, it was April 14th, I believe, or around the 14th of April is when he was assassinated in Washington, D.C. at Ford's Theater. This warning was tying two events together, the collapse of Iran and an assassination attempt in April. That's what was being warned January 28th, 2026. That Iran would collapse and that the USS Abraham Lincoln was being moved into position, and it was a warning of an assassination attempt to come, and both now have happened in April. Iran is collapsing actively, and this past Saturday, we all saw what happened, White House Correspondents' Dinner, a third assassination attempt on President Trump and high Trump officials. So that is what was being pointed at prophetically when I said this January 28th, 2026. Now, that being said, the ante has just been upped in this case by Iran. Let's put up the article. Now we're going to get into, this is going to be prophetically charged, what the rest of what we're going to talk about here. Iran Supreme Leader's statement, only place for U.S. and Persian Gulf is, quote, bottom of its waters. The Supreme Leader of Iran, despite the questions of his health and active hold on the country in crisis, is signaling no retreat on the country's core military programs, even as President Donald Trump seeks peace. Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei, while reportedly in questionable health, issued a Persian Gulf Day statement online, vowing the Islamic Republic would protect its, quote, nuclear and missile capabilities, drawing a hard line as tensions remain high over the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's confrontation with the U.S. Khamenei also escalated his rhetoric against Washington, saying the only place for the American military in the Persian Gulf is, quote, at the bottom of its waters. And he went further. He said, by God's help and power, the bright future of the Persian Gulf region will be a future without America, one serving the progress, comfort, and prosperity of its people. A translation of this statement read. Okay. Now, we are coming to the crescendo of the Red Sea moment as this entire altercation at Hormuz started materializing during Passover 2026 and has continued since in the window between Passover and Pentecost. Let me show you something incredible here. The Supreme Leader of Iran makes this statement today, April 30th, 2026, that the U.S. military belongs at, quote, the bottom of the Persian Gulf, okay? And that God is going to help them do it. Guess what today is on the Jewish calendar? Today, April 30th, is Pesach Sheni. Now, what is Pesach Sheni? It's the second Passover. Let me explain. It begins at sundown tonight, Thursday, April 30th. It ends at nightfall on Friday, May 1st, 2026. It's observed on the 14th of Iyar, exactly 1 month after the Passover sacrifice was offered. Now, this second Passover was established in biblical times for those who were unclean during the first Passover and couldn't partake. They would then partake in Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. Well, the day that Pesach Sheni starts, the second Passover, is when Mojtaba Khamenei issues a statement saying he wants to put the U.S. military at, quote, the bottom of the ocean, and Almighty God is going to help them do it. This is the day of all days he says it. Now, why is that important? Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 9 through 10 to start, and then we'll go deeper into the chapter. The Egyptians chased them with all the horses and war chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very frightened, so the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Now, go to Exodus 14, verses 15 through 26. I'm going to read to you. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward toward the sea. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, so that the sons of Israel may go through the middle of the sea on dry land. They're going through the bottom of the sea, basically. As for me, hear this, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will go in the sea after them. And I will be glorified in honor through Pharaoh and all his army and his war chariots and horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord, when I am glorified and honored through Pharaoh, through his war chariots and his charioteers. Verse 19, the angel of God who had been going in front of the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud along with darkness. So one army did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all that night and turned the seabed, the bottom of the sea, into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the middle of the sea on dry land, and the waters formed a wall to them on their right and on their left. Verse 23. Then the Egyptians pursued them into the middle of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his war chariots, and his charioteers. So it happened at the early morning watch before dawn that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and put them in a state of confusion. He made their chariot wheels hard to turn and the chariots difficult to drive. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Verse 26, because it's the year 2026. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians on their war chariots and their charioteers." Now, given the statements of Moshtaba Khomeini, that they belong, quote, at the bottom of the sea. He says this on Pesach Shinai, the second Passover, and that God is going to help them. This is aligning with the grave mistake that Pharaoh made that destroyed his whole army. Now, why did Pharaoh go into the sea? Because the sea was parted by God at Baal Zephon. Pharaoh misread the entire situation and thought it was Baal, one of their gods, who is parting the waters to hand Israel over to them for a victory, because the sea was ripped open. And Canaanite mythology says that Baal became the supreme leader by defeating the serpent over the sea and ripping it open. So when Pharaoh sees the sea ripped open at Baal Zephon, he misreads and believes it's his god that is going to hand Israel over to them. Where? At the bottom of the sea. Where is Moshtaba Khomeini between Passover and Pentecost saying the U.S. Army belongs? At the bottom of the sea. Now, he says this on the second Passover. Today is Pesach Shinai, the second Passover. Now, I'm going to read it again, what Moshtaba Khomeini said. He escalated his rhetoric to Washington, saying the only place for the American military in the Persian Gulf is, quote, at the bottom of the waters, which is exactly where Pharaoh and his army ended up. By God's help and power, the bright future of the Persian Gulf region will be a future without America, one serving the progress, comfort, and prosperity of its people. He's making the same mistake Pharaoh's making. He's believing that his God is setting up to hand the United States over in the area of the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf. But he's misreading it just as Pharaoh misread it. His heart is being hardened and he wants a battle involving the bottom of the sea, which is where Pharaoh pursued Israel and thought that Baal had handed over Israel to him at the bottom of the Red Sea at Baal Zephon. Now, Pharaoh tried to defeat Israel at the bottom of the Red Sea and thought his God delivered them, when truly Almighty God set the trap, hardened Pharaoh's heart, led him into his demise. And this is what is unfolding before us with these statements by Moshtaba Khomeini. We are watching a very biblical parallel to a crescendo of a Red Sea moment between the U.S. and Iran. If Moshtaba Khomeini and the leadership of Iran continues down this avenue, this rhetoric, and is making the same statements that Pharaoh made in the book of Exodus to bring him to his demise. He even said, "The foreigners who greedily commit evil in it from the thousands of kilometers away have no place in it except the depths of its waters." He said it again, you see. Very timely and interesting that these things are being said now, of all times. Of all times he could have done it. He does it on Pesach Shinai, the second Passover. That's when he makes statements about, quote, the bottom of the sea and a battle at sea and wanting to sink the U.S. and put them in the bottom of the sea, which is where Pharaoh ended up when he hardened his heart and decided he was going to go out and trap Israel at the Red Sea. And instead, God set the trap, parted the Red Sea, brought Israel into it, and made Pharaoh believe that his God had opened the sea so he would have Israel delivered to him. And instead, Pharaoh and his army, his entire army, end up at the bottom of the Red Sea. You see, this is not an accident that these things are happening, that they're lining up that way, that we're watching these things be said in biblical parallel to Passover and Purim and this 45-day window between Passover and Pentecost. We're watching all of this unfold. This is not an accident. This is highly biblical times that we are living in, that we are watching these things align as we move towards the events in the book of Ezekiel, in the latter book of Ezekiel, the latter book of Revelation, and in the book of Daniel. I believe the war of Ezekiel would have came early had Iran not been dealt with. I believe the clock would have attempted to be sped up because Persia leads that war. Persia is one of the main players, which is Iran, in the war of Ezekiel. And I believe what's happening is a correction right now. We are watching of the timetable of that, putting it back in order. Now, on top of this, we're going to go to the book of Ezra. We're going to go to the book of Ezra because there's something very interesting happening with the timing of what's happening with Iran, the rededication of the nation. It's converging, and we're going to get into all this. So Ezra 3:1 says, "When the seventh month came and the sons of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem." Jerusalem was the capital. Seventh month this happens. Now, our seventh month would be July, when the nation's, the 250th anniversary of the nation happens, and Washington, D.C. is the capital. Now, I'm going to show you something very interesting that just happened that's leading me to believe something is going to shake very close to that date in July. So I'm going to put this up for you for a second, and we'll come back to Ezra in a minute. April 20th, 10 days ago, 7.4 magnitude earthquake strikes off the Japanese coast. So basically, they had a 7.4 earthquake. It was on a Monday. They issued a tsunami warning. This happens April 20th. 7.4. 7.4 is our 250th anniversary here in America. Japan is shaking, and it's registering the date that our 250th anniversary is, and Japan is attempting to stop the spread of Islam in their nation, right? And rising up and actually going after it now and wanting to evict it from their nation. And they have an earthquake that is the date of our 250th anniversary. Now, do I think that's an accident? No. Do I think it is prophetically pointing at something, a shaking near the time of July 4th? Yes. And I'm going to say, please just continue to intercede and pray about that. I'm going to as well. If the Lord gives me anything else on that, I certainly will say it. But I wanted to show you that for a moment, because when I saw that, I raised an eyebrow and I sat on it for 10 days. Until tonight, when I was going to talk about everything that's transpired between Iran and the rededication in July 4th, and I remembered this happened, and I wanted to point it out to you because I think it's important. Now, let's go to Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. "Then the work on the house of God in Jerusalem stopped. It was suspended until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia," which is Iran, "the second year." 2026 is President Trump's second year of his second term, and the U.S. is in conflict with Iran, which was Persia. He was a Cyrus in his first term. In his second term, we are watching a theme of a Darius, unfold because he's dealing with Iran, which is Persia. So everything was suspended until the second year, and it's in the second year now of his second term. We are watching the rededication of this nation as well as the 250th celebration and anniversary of America on July 4th. Now, go to Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Then King Darius issued a decree, and a search was conducted in Babylon in the archives where the treasures and records were stored. In Ecbatana, in the fortress, in the province of Media, M-E-D-I-A, a scroll was found on which this was recorded. So basically what was recorded was that Cyrus had decreed to rebuild, basically, to allow the Jewish people to rebuild. Now, so that's setting the stage for Ezra 7. We don't meet Ezra. Ezra the scribe, Ezra the one that wants to rededicate the nation back to the Lord, till chapter 7. Now, I have to show you something incredible about the timing of what's happening in Iran and the rededication of the nation. Okay, so 60 uneventful years, for the most part, passed between Ezra 6, when Darius finds the decree, and Ezra 7, when Ezra shows up on the scene. The ruler of Persia at the end of that period, so the ruler of Iran at the end of that 60-year period, was Artaxerxes, who is also known to history as Artaxerxes Longimanus, the successor to Xerxes, the king who married Esther. So he's the king right now of Persia. When Ezra shows up on the scene, is the successor of the king who was married to Esther. The events of the book of Esther took place between Ezra chapter 6 and Ezra chapter 7. What's amazing about this is that Esther is a book of reversals, and if you reverse 6-7, you get 76, which was our nation's birth. This means, while Haman, who was high political leadership, he was put in a very high political position near the king in Persia, which is Iran, is putting out decrees of destruction to annihilate, right? This is what happens. He's putting out decrees of destruction to annihilate, and he ended up falling for it. These divine reversals go out, and Haman and his sons fall. While this is going on, Ezra is setting up to have the nation rededicated back to the Lord, and he shows up on the scene in the fifth month, which on our calendar is May, and the rededication is for our nation is in the fifth month. So between Ezra 6 and 7, the book of Esther, which took place in Persia, which is Iran, which is when Haman fell, is playing out. So these two things intersect. Now, what is happening at the same time in modern day that is running a striking biblical parallel to Ezra 6 to 7 and the book of Esther unfolding within those 60 years of Ezra chapter 6 to Ezra chapter 7? Well, the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, the leader of Iran, falls after sending out many decrees of destruction. Haman and Amalek, who was in the book of Esther, the enemy of the people of God, the names Haman and Amalek is hidden in the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini's name. You can actually spell the name Haman and Amalek from the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini's name. Now, this comes from the book of Esther, right? What played out with Haman. And this comes from what happened with the Lord putting forth divine reversals to cause a high political leader to fall who challenged God's plans, purposes, and the people of God. Now, Iran is currently collapsing, which was known as Persia in the book of Esther. While this is happening, the nation of America is facing its Ezra moment and the rededication of the nation. So Ezra chapter 6 through chapter 7 intersects with the book of Esther, because the book of Esther happened within the 60 years between Ezra 6 and 7. So while you have Haman falling in Persia, which is Iran, you have Ezra setting up to rededicate the nation. What's happening now? You have the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini who fell, who has Haman and Amalek hidden in his name, who was the leader of Iran. And while that is happening in the United States, they're setting up to rededicate the nation. You are watching an intersection of the book of Ezra and the book of Esther in real time. Now, if we go to Ezra chapter 7, verse 8, it says, Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. Now, the rededication of the nation is set for May, which is the fifth month on our calendar. Now, to prove further this is aligning, 7 years prior to Ezra coming to Jerusalem, so 7 years prior to Ezra's arrival in Jerusalem, Artaxerxes ascended, he was the first, so Artaxerxes the first ascended to the Persian throne following the assassination of his father, Xerxes. So Artaxerxes the first ascends to the Persian throne, which is Iran, because his father, Xerxes the first, is assassinated. This period was marked by political turmoil in the Persian Empire, which delayed the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls, leaving the city vulnerable until Nehemiah's later arrival. What just happened in Iran, which is known as Persia? Mojtaba Khomeini ascends to the throne after the assassination of his father, the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. So in the same way, before Ezra comes on the scene, in Persia, the leader is assassinated, which is Iran, and the son ascends to the throne. We have watched now Mojtaba Khomeini ascend to the throne after the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, who has Haman and Amalek hidden in his name, falls. So you can't, all of these, the parallels that are running between the book of Exodus, the book of Esther, and the book of Ezra are pretty definitive. They are pretty strong. And while Esther was happening, Ezra was getting ready to rededicate the nation. While Haman was falling in Persia, which is Iran, Ezra was about to come on the scene and rededicate the nation. While we're watching Iran actively collapse now and the leader fall and the sun ascend, we're getting ready to rededicate the nation here. So we are watching the biblical intersection in modern day of the book of Esther and the book of Ezra. It's incredible, but it's true. Now, to go forth with the rededication of the nation, I'm going to show you something very interesting. So, Congress in 1775 to 1781 called for days of prayer and fasting. Not only prayer, not only a national day of prayer, but a day of prayer and fasting. One was June 7th, 1775, March 16th, 1776, December of 1776, March of 1778, and March of 1781. Now, what's fascinating about this is Congress proclaimed days of fasting and of thanksgiving annually throughout the Revolutionary War. This proclamation by Congress was set May 17th, 1776, as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer throughout the colonies. Congress urged its fellow citizens to confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by a sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease God's righteous displeasure, and through the merit and mediation of Christ, of Jesus Christ, obtain his pardon and forgiveness. Congress made this proclamation May 17th, 1776, exactly 250 years to the day, May 17th, 2026, the nation is being rededicated from the initial proclamation of Congress of a day of fasting and thanksgiving. That is incredible that it was to the day, 250 years to the day. of Congress's initial proclamation of fasting and prayer and thanksgiving, this nation is going to be rededicated to the Lord. Now, I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 26, because we're in the year 2026. It's the offering of the first fruits. It says, then it shall be when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you take possession of it and live in it, that's verse 1, verse 2, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord God chooses to establish his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest will take the basket from you and place it before the altar of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 26, 17. Today you have openly declared the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and listen to his voice. Now, two reasons why I'm bringing this up. First of all, I believe Deuteronomy 26, 17 needs to be read at the rededication. You know why? Because it's the year 2026 and May 17th is the rededication. And this is Deuteronomy 26, 17. Today you have openly declared the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and listen to his voice. That is not a mistake. That is Deuteronomy 26, 17. And we are in the year 2026. And May 17th just happens to be the rededication of America. Secondly, I would strongly urge, in all respect, the Trump administration to give some type of first fruits offering to the Lord before you rededicate the nation. Whatever that is between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I believe the Trump administration should give some type of first fruits offering to the Lord before they rededicate the nation, and even the cabinet members, because in Deuteronomy, when they took the land, this is what they did. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we're in the year 2026, and that verse 26:17, Deuteronomy 26:17, should be read, I believe, at the rededication. So I wanted to just put that in there, but I truly believe they have to pray about this. It's between them and the Lord what they give, but I truly believe before the rededication, giving a first fruits offering, and also reading Deuteronomy 26, 17 at the rededication would be something that would be powerful before the nation. Now, back to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9, we're going, verses 6 through 11. This is Ezra crying out to the Lord because he realizes the nation has strayed. He realizes the nation has done horrible things. He wants the nation to come back to the Lord. And so Ezra makes an open plea to the Lord before the people. And this is what he says in Ezra chapter 9, verse 6 through 11. And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you, my God, for our wrongdoings have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been exceedingly guilty. And on account of our wrongdoings, we, our kings and our priests, have been handed over to the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plundering, and to complete shame as it is today. But now for a brief moment, grace has been shown to us from the Lord our God, who has left us a surviving remnant and has given us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we are slaves, yet our God has not abandoned us in our bondage, but has extended loving kindness to us before the kings of Persia. Isn't that interesting that Iran is involved in his very speech? To revive us, to rebuild the house of our God, to repair the site of its ruins, and to give us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 10, now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have abandoned your commandments, which you have commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is a defiled land with the uncleanness of the people of the lands through their repulsive acts, which have filled it from one end to the other, along with their impurity. This is Ezra crying out. Now, I'm going to read to you Ezra chapter 9, verse 11, 9:1:1. This is what it says. Which you have commanded by your servants the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is a defiled land with the uncleanness of the peoples of the land through their repulsive acts, which have filled it from one end to the other along with their impurity. You know what I wrote under that? New York City. This is why you are going to see a great shaking in New York City, because it is defiled with the uncleanness of the peoples of the land. You know who he's talking about? The peoples of the land, the foreigners who don't serve God. That's what he's talking about here. Through their repulsive acts, which have filled it from one end to the other, along with their impurity. That is Ezra 9:1:1. That is New York City right now. And that is why, if there isn't repentance in New York City, a great shaking is coming to New York City, and something very highly symbolic will happen with that Freedom Tower. I'm telling you now, because it is filled with uncleanness, it is filled with detestable things, and a covenant has been made with another god, a foreign god, and strange fire on strange altars have occurred in New York City as it stands, because Zoram Mamdani also has Haman hidden in his name. So while one Haman of Amalek falls, the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, you have another one attempting to rise to put forth other decrees of destruction. Now, this year 2026, Rosh Hashanah begins on 9/11, September 11th, just 2 months before the midterms. Okay, so this is what's amazing about this. Rosh Hashanah 9:1:1 is sandwiched in between the rededication of the nation, the July 4th 250th anniversary, and the midterms. Because the July 4th marker is 2 months prior to Rosh Hashanah 9:1:1, and the midterms are 2 months after. It is smack in the middle. This is happening. That should be a warning and a wake-up call to us all that the Feast of Trumpets is sandwiched in between July 4th, 250th anniversary of America, and the midterms. And there in the middle is Rosh Hashanah 9:1:1, the day the towers fell and the day the trumpets are blown will intersect and converge. Do I think that's an accident this year? No, I do not, because the year 2025 to 2027 is a 2-year window that equals 9/11. 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. 2 plus 2 plus 7 is 11. 9:1:1. All of this is unfolding in that window. That is not an accident. Now, Ezra 10, that chapter has to do with reconciling with God after declaring your sins openly as a nation before him, right? So that's what Ezra chapter 10 is. And I think it's interesting that currently there's a 10-point peace plan that was presented to Iran by the Trump administration. This 10-point peace plan is while we're trying to reconcile the nation and rededicate it back to God. And Ezra chapter 10 has to do all with reconciling the nation now back to the Lord. Ezra 10:2. Interestingly enough, says, Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, the sons of Elam, which is Iran. Elam was the area of Iran. Elam said to Ezra, we have been unfaithful to our God and have married foreign women from the people of the land who were idolaters. Yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. You have Elam admitting their unfaithfulness to God, which is the area of Iran, in the midst of a rededication of a nation going on. What two things are converging right now? The collapse of Iran, what's happening with Iran, Iran's rebellion, and the rededication of the nation here in America. They're converging. They also converge back in the book of Ezra, and they converge between the book of Ezra and the book of Esther. Now, Ezra chapter 10, verse 9. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 20th day of the 9th month, and all the people sat in the open square in front of the house of God, trembling because of the seriousness of this matter and because of the heavy rain. So it was the 20th day of the 9th month. Now, interestingly enough, September is the 9th month on our calendar, and it's September 22nd, 2025, very close to the 20th day when Rosh Hashanah happened last year, right? So, interestingly enough, Rosh Hashanah last year happened September 22nd, 2025, in the 9th month. Shortly after that, the shutdown occurred on Yom Kippur, October 1st, which was the Day of Atonement on the Jewish calendar, the Day of Reckoning. So interestingly enough, right, gathered because of the seriousness of the matter, you had something very similar happen last year, and you had between Rosh Hashanah, which happened around the 20th day of the 9th month, you had between that and Yom Kippur, which happened, I believe, on October 1st, the entire government shut down. And it was on a date that also equaled 9/11. It was 10-1-2025. 10 plus 1 is 11. 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. 9-1-1. It was foreshadowing what would come with Rosh Hashanah 9/11 that is happening this year. Now, the midterm elections. Okay, this is something else I want to point out. The 20th day of the 9th month on the Jewish calendar is November 30th, 2026. Tuesday, November 3rd, 2026 are the midterm elections. 27 days separates these two dates. 2027 happens to be the year we're entering next. And in this account of Ezra, they talked about that there was heavy rain. Heavy rain, right? So 27 days separates the two dates I'm talking about. Ezra 10:9 talks about heavy rain. Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 through 27, which we're in the year 2026, we're going into 2027, this is what it says. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That's the warning. That's the warning for the conservatives right now. That's the warning for Congress. That's the warning right now for what's unfolding in the United States of America. Verse 27, and the rain fell, there's the heavy rains, and the floods and torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was its fall. Matthew 7, 26 through 27 is a warning of what's coming in 27 if the foundation isn't gotten right before the midterms in 2026. If the foundation isn't gotten right, the warning is what's coming in verse 27 for 2027. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was its fall. 2027 also happens to be a Jewish leap year, otherwise known as a pregnant year, where you have double Purims. You have Purim Katan, little Purim, and Purim, which means double decrees of destruction. So the way these years are running, 2025, Purim, blood moon. 2026, Purim, blood moon. 2027, double Purims. That is the way these years are running right now. And that's not an accident how that's all unfolding. Now, I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 9 through 11 for a minute. And this is what it says. In the night, my soul longs for you, O Lord. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when your judgments are experienced on the earth, will the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Though the wicked is shown compassion and favor, he does not learn righteousness. Right now, there is being compassion shown to the Iranian regime. They're trying to come up with a peace plan, and they're not learning. In the land of the uprightness, he deals unjustly and refuses to see the majesty of the Lord. Verse 11, though your hand is lifted up to strike, O Lord, the wicked do not see it, neither did Pharaoh. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Indeed, let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. That's Isaiah 26, 9, 11. We are in the year 2026. Rosh Hashanah is set to begin on 9-11. Keep in mind this scripture, this set of scriptures for what's coming. Isaiah 27:1. In that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. Now, I'm going to tell you in 2027 to keep your eyes on the South China Sea and Taiwan. Okay? Now, 2027 in China is the year of the fire goat that's coming. Matthew 25, verses 32 through 33 says, all the nations will be gathered before him for judgment. He will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, the place of rejection. And 2027 in China is the year of the fire goat, right? The year of rejection. And I wanted to put that out now, given what we're watching unfold and given that China and Russia are involving themselves with what's happening in Iran. I believe it's setting up for this. Okay, I also want to show you this word here. So one of the things I wanted to talk about too is in the middle of everything that's happening with Iran and the rededication, we had what happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the third assassination attempt on President Trump and high-ranking Trump officials. March 27th, 2026, word of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord says this day, steady yourselves, anchor yourselves in my word. In an hour of great turbulence, says the Lord, a pocket, says the Lord, of extremes. This must be navigated through for the path ahead. The bears are coming out of hibernation and about to go beyond their territory, says the Lord. For the bear shall ride upon the dragon. You shall see an image of this, says the Lord. However, the height they shall attempt, they shall gasp for air. Their fire shall fail, and there shall be a crash for both, says the Lord, in this time. Now, what's interesting about this word and what just happened? Cole Allen, the assailant, was from California, whose state flag is a bear. When bears come out of hibernation, they are highly aggressive. This is an hour of great turbulence, and it says their fire shall fail. And what happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, him attempting to fire off all these rounds failed. And the attempt failed, praise God. And it's warning this word of a time of great aggression. And we watched this out of the gate, April 25th. This word was given March 27th, 2026. Cole Allen traveled all the way from California. California flag symbol is the bear. And he says, the bears, plural, are coming out of hibernation and about to go beyond their territories. He left California. He came to Washington, D.C., right? He also said in here, the fire shall fail and there shall be a crash for both, says the Lord in this time. Now, this does have to do with China and Russia too, but it's bears, plural. And this did have to do also with what happened with Cole Allen and what will happen with leadership in California and what will happen with other aggression that is going to come out against high-ranking Trump officials in this time. That word was warning of an hour of great turbulence, a pocket of great turbulence. An hour is a short period of time, but it's going to be a great turbulence. And we are in that right now. And we are in that because ultimately the enemy, kingdom of darkness, and his disciples want to stop the rededication of this nation. This is a battle on the grounds of covenant. This is a battle that is being warred in the spirit for a covenant of a nation, for a birthright. Why do you think Ishmael is rising in America right now and bringing an outcry? Because the birthright was taken from Ishmael. Why do you think Zohran Mamdani, who's part of Ishmael, was raised up in New York City? Because that's where Washington established the covenant at Federal Hall, April, there it is again, month of April, 1789. Federal Hall, Washington's inauguration, he establishes this covenant. And in the month of April, we just are watching unfold at the same time, Iran collapsing and an assassination attempt in Washington, D.C. And because that was done in New York City, Ishmael has now been raised up to challenge the validity of the birthright. This is a battle over a birthright. This is a battle over a covenant. This is a battle to stop the rededication of this nation. This is a battle for things to shake near July 4th. If Japan had a 7.4 earthquake, that should be a warning to us all in this nation to pray and intercede that the shaking they want to bring around the 4th of July is dismantled, destroyed, and exposed before it reaches its fullness. Because the goal is to cause that a few months before the midterms. That's the goal. And Rosh Hashanah 9/11 happens in close proximity, the Feast of Trumpets, to all of this. Ishmael is rising in this hour to challenge the birthright and the covenant. And this is why we are watching these things move about in the natural that are coming in from the realm of the spirit. And there are territories right now being mobilized at in order to battle for the birthright. This is why rededicating this nation is so important. And you know what? If for some reason they can't have the crowds they once thought they could, they still have to do it. They still have to do it. It is imperative that they do not move the rededication of the nation. It has to happen. It has to be given back to God. President Trump reading 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. He read that just days prior to this assassination attempt. That should show you it's connected. That should show you there is something greater going on spiritually here that we need to pay attention to, that there is a war over the foundation of this nation. And there is a strange lion that has come in from another territory that wants the dominance in this nation in this time. We need to understand that that is why we are watching everything happen with Ishmael unfold, with Iran unfold, the timing of this, with the rededication of the nation, and July 4th is not an accident. Because the enemy wants to war on the grounds of covenant. And this is why we're watching the book of Ezra and the book of Esther intersect in modern day with what's happening with the collapse of Iran, the fall of Haman in Iran, the fall of the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and the rededication of our nation at the same time. It's biblically running parallel right now, and we need to pay attention to that. These things are not happening randomly or by accident. There are real battle lines being drawn in the spirit that are coming into the natural. And now who comes back out as well? The other Ishmael, Barack Obama. Now what's coming to the surface now? This fight with Russiagate is percolating. This is all converging at the same time, because it's running biblically parallel. What Mojtaba Khamenei said on April 30th, that the U.S. military belongs at the bottom of the Persian Gulf. And he says it on Pesach Sheni, the second Passover, is not an accident. That is prophetically aligning with exactly what Pharaoh did when he hardened his heart, chased the people of God to the Red Sea, and then chased them into the sea to try to take them out at the bottom of the sea, when Almighty God set the trap and Pharaoh and his army ended up at the bottom of the sea and the people of God ended up delivered. This is why, in the midst of what's happening with Iran, it is crucial we rededicate the nation. We can't put this off. We cannot say no. We cannot delay it. The enemy wants to delay it. He wants to cause so much fear. I don't care if President Trump just has to come on TV himself with his cabinet members and faith leaders and do it. It has to be done. And this is why this assassination attempt happened when it did. Because ultimately, it's trying to stop that. And ultimately, it's trying to blow up the 250th anniversary of America. And ultimately, it's trying to hijack and do a hostile takeover of the midterms. The fact the DHS shutdown lasted 76 days, and this is when they passed the bill, should show you that a rebellion and a hostile takeover is percolating in Congress. It should show you that. Think about this even more so. And thank you, Lord, for this. I perceive this to be the Lord who just dropped this in my spirit. As the shutdown lasts 76 days, who shows up on the soil of the United States of America but Prince Charles and Queen Camilla, who represent England, who the U.S., or America, was liberated from. So as the rededication of our nation is happening, as the shutdown is lasting 76 days, the leadership of England, who we warred with to get free in 1776, just happens to show up on our soil now and visit the 9/11 memorial in the year that Rosh Hashanah begins on 9/11. You can't tell me that this is all random. The way this is unfolding, it's not. It's a sign. Them showing up now, the country that we were liberated from, of all times they could have visited, it's now. Because there's another type of revolutionary war percolating. There's another type of 9/11. There's another revelationary war that is unfolding before us. And this is why you're watching this all converge as once. Them going to the 9/11 memorial was a sign for England, let me tell you. And them showing up here when we were liberated from England and we had to fight England in the Revolutionary War to get free in 1776, and they're on U.S. soil as the shutdown lasts 76 days, not an accident. These are prophetic cycles that we are watching come full circle in this time. And we have to pay attention to it. And I'm going to tell you now, we are organizing a night of prayer. We will be announcing the date by Monday. Most likely it's going to be at the end of next week. So we will have the official announcement for you on Monday. But we are working very hard on putting a night of prayer together before the rededication. So Monday, I promise you, we will announce it. We are going to do it. This has to be done. This is something that we have to come together. This is something that we have to come together collectively as the body of Christ and pray right now and use the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down and destruction of strongholds. And I'm going to say this too. The National Day of Prayer, I believe, is the first Thursday in May. So from May 7th to May 17th, 10 days, I'm declaring that time to be a time of fasting and prayer in the nation. May 7th to May 17th, I'm declaring a time of prayer and fasting. Please share this. Share this on your social media. We want everybody to come together and not only prayer, but prayer and fasting leading up to the rededication of the nation. So May 7th to May 17th, as much as you can fast and pray, it's a 10-day period of fasting and praying. Esther had 10 chapters, interestingly enough. And we are working on a night of prayer, and we will be announcing it on Monday, and we will be doing it before the rededication. We are diligently working on this. My team is. We have others helping us right now to try to get this together in order to do this. So but mark your calendars, because it's going to come up soon. And we will make the official announcement on Monday. Praise the Lord. Okay. Also, we have quite a few animal adoptions. So if you could stay on, please, if any of you can help these animals we're about to show. We have animals right now that are desperately in need of homes. We're going to show you one at a time. These are two sweet, sweet dogs in California. Please call 951-576-7307 if you can help find them a home or if you can take them in. Desperately, desperately, they need a home. The owner does not want to have to put them down. And so if you can help, please call the phone number on your screen. Also, this is Mercury. He is in Union City, New Jersey. He is wonderful with other dogs, cats, and kids. He is a little under 5 years old, an American Bulldog. He is neutered, and he is in New Jersey. So if you can give Mercury a home, please call 347-497-2434. And this is Sadie the Yorkie. They're trying to get Sadie, I believe, over from South Africa. So if you can help get Sadie over here, these owners, some of them are having to abandon their animals to get out. We want to see Sadie go with her owner. So please, if you can, we have the way to donate for Sadie so she can stay with her owner. And we have a piggy, too. Okay, we have a 2-year-old indoor pig in Rogers, Arkansas, that desperately needs a home. This pig is house trained. So if you've always wanted a pig, if you have room for a pig, if you could take a pig in as a pet, please text the owner at 479-877-4961. Her name is Miss Piggy. She desperately, desperately needs a home. If you can help in taking Miss Piggy, we will be glad at Ark of Grace to help get you started with supplies and food for Miss Piggy. And if any of you can take in any of those dogs, we will be glad to help you with food, beds, and supplies for them to gladly get you started. Praise the Lord. Okay. Also, we're going to put up Brace for Impact. I talk about the rededication of the nation and the 250th anniversary in this book. What a prophetic title for the time we're in. It is available everywhere books are sold. It is on arcofgrace.org. You can click on the link. You'll probably have it in a couple of days. The link will take you to Amazon. It's also on Charisma Media site, as well as Barnes & Noble and everywhere books are sold. And also we have, lastly, Givaderm. So we have a couple things to show you from Givaderm. First is this, the Amanda collection that the lovely ladies at Givaderm came up with. And let me show you for a moment what comes in it. You get a TSA-approved travel bag. I sign the bookmark. So the bookmark you're going to get is going to be personally signed by me. I sign these, as well as a makeup, beautiful makeup cloth in order to take your makeup off. And it also comes with the body lotion, all of my favorite products, the clay cleanser. It comes with Mother Slugger. It comes with Mother Plumper. It comes with Uplift, which is one of my personal favorites. And it also, let's see what else is in here, the eye cream. So these are all my personal favorites that I use. It comes in this beautiful box. So they decided to put a collection together. Very nice of them to do that. And so if you're interested, you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on Givaderm. And you can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. They also have their Mother's Day sale. So you buy a facial edition system, you get a free gift. So, and you get to pick one of those on the screen. So if you want to give your mom some nice all natural facial care, If you'd like to give her that for Mother's Day, please just go to Givaderm, because the ladies at Givaderm really know what they're doing in skincare. We love them. They're godly women, and we praise God for them. And that's about it. We're going to wrap up for tonight. So we've run a little long. It's an hour and 25 minutes. We got to land the plane, guys. We got to land the plane. But thank you so much for staying on with us tonight. We always want to encourage you in the word as we close. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I speak it every single day. I encourage you to speak it every single day, as well as the other Psalms on the screen. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I speak those every night, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 every night before bed. I speak it, I incorporate it, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. Also, Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to encourage you to right now, go back again to the book of Exodus and go read the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra and the nation's rededication right now, so, so important. We want to encourage you in the word. It's living, active, and current for every generation. We need to be in the word. We need to be filling our souls with the word. We need to be renewing our minds with the word. It is a transformative book, the word of God, and we cannot be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you to our moderators and Ark of Grace team. We will be putting out shorts the rest of the week. We will be back on live early next week, most likely Monday, where we will be announcing the night of prayer. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, everyone. We love you. Keep the faith. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. Could your health issues be caused by an invisible enemy? Fatigue, bloating, brain fog? What if parasites are the real culprit? Did you know that 60 million Americans apparently have parasites? They are everywhere, our food, our water, and they even can afflict our pets. They can wreak havoc on your gut, energy levels, and even your brain. And the mainstream medical system doesn't want you to think about this, because one great cleanse can potentially change your life. The Wellness Company has a solution for you. Ivermectin and Mebendazole, the FDA-approved parasite solutions, are now combined into one cleanse combo. Just fill out a brief medical intake form to get a three-month supply. MAHA is officially here, and the Wellness Company is making these hard-to-get medications digitally accessible so you can live your best life. Contact the Wellness Company today by going to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code GRACE to save $60 off plus free shipping.